Our psalm reading today, Rhonda's going to do that, Psalm 58.
So I thought I was reading Psalm 57, so I haven't read Psalm 58, so bear with me. And I just lost my place. Psalm 58. Justice, do you rulers know the meaning of the word? Do you judge the people fairly? No, all your dealings are crooked. You hand out violence instead of justice. These wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth, they have lied and have gone their own way. They spit out poison like deadly snakes. They are like cobras that refuse to listen, ignoring the tunes of the snake charmers. No matter how skillfully they play, break off their fangs, O God. Smash the jaw of these lions, like, O Lord. May they disappear like water into the thirsty ground. Make their weapons useless in their hands. May they be like snails that dissolve into slime, like a stillborn child who will never see the sun. God will sweep them away, both young and old, faster than a pot heats on an open flame. The godly will rejoice when they see the injustice avenged. They will wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then at last, everyone will say, There truly is a reward for those who live for God. Surely there is a God who judges justly here on earth. And Sariti.
All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're just so grateful to be here and to worship you and to draw near to you and to look towards you and to seek your will for our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you open up our hearts to what you're going to do, to what you're going to reveal. And Lord, I lift up Justin Peterson right now as he is getting ready to present your word. Lord, I just pray that you are with him and give him the clarity that he needs. And Lord, we just thank you so much for his heart of service. And Lord, open up our hearts to your word. And Lord, everything that we do here, we ask to be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, today, I picked the book of Philemon to preach from, so I will, or you might call it Philemon, I guess, but I call it Philemon, so bear with me. I'll start out. This is a letter from Paul to Philemon. It says, "Greetings, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apophia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon's love and faith. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of your faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us, for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Paul's plea for Onesimus. "Accordingly, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. Yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and me and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but by your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Final greetings. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark and Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This ends the reading of God's word. Aren't you glad I just picked the small one to read? You know, even though this book is very small, and as my mother-in-law used to say, dynamite comes in small packages, it's packed full of grace. It's packed full of forgiveness and what that example looks like. Paul starts off his letter thanking Philemon for his love and for his faithfulness. In a way, he's saying it warms my heart, is what he's saying. It warms my heart to see what you're doing while I'm in prison. You're feeding the flock and you're being a leader and you're doing what is good for the Lord. And my question is, have you guys ever experienced that? Have you ever seen that in your lives where something just warmed your heart? I guess as parents, you could say, yeah, there's probably times when I felt like all I did was yelled at my kids because they don't listen. But then there's times when you see those great things that they do, when they've been challenged by life and the trials that come with life. Sometimes you see them step up and it just warms your heart. It's like they were listening, weren't they? My kids were listening. I guess I'm not such a crabby person after all. And I suppose as a pastor of a church, the things that warm their hearts is watching people grow in their faith as they're preaching and teaching. And maybe it has something to do with somebody new that's coming into the church and you don't know where they stand in their belief system. And as the pastor's up here and he's preaching and he's watching this young man or this young woman or older man or older woman, and he's watching them as they listen every Sunday, and pretty soon it's like you can see the light bulb going off. You're like, I get it now. And it warms the pastor's heart. Or maybe people joining the church and having a baptism warms the pastor's heart. It's all kinds of things that warms our hearts. And Paul's saying, this is refreshing to me to see what you're doing, Philemon. He's telling him, I'm proud of you. Good job. But in the next section, I skipped a part here. I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous. I was trying to think of some of the things in my life that were refreshing to me. And I just wanted to share, not to boast, but to glorify God in what He does and what He uses me sometimes to do, and that's at the jail. It's refreshing to me when someone comes up to me and says, hey, are you that guy that gives out those Bible studies? And I'll say, yeah. Can I have one? And I was like, sure. And it's such a great feeling to see people that are hungry for the word. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you guys in grade school, if you ever ordered books. Yeah? I was always excited, you know, third, fourth, fifth grade and on up, you get these books. I don't remember how old it was, maybe it was second grade, ordered this dinosaur book where everything popped up, you can pull the little things and it made the dinosaur go down for the fish and all that kind of silly stuff. But you order that book and it's like it can't come fast enough, and when you see the teacher walk in with that box, with that little writing on it, you know that's the books, and you're just excited. That's how it is with some of these people at the jail that are waiting for me to bring in that message. And I just feel so good about it. I'm so thankful that God is using me to do that. And boy, I catch it some days if I'm not there and I take some days off. Where were you? I needed that message, you know. So those are the things in my life that refresh me, and with my kids too. So then Paul starts talking about Onesimus. He wants Philemon to know that, hey, your former slave is down here with me. See, Onesimus used to be a slave, and he ran from Paul. And I was just curious, so I asked Siri, I said, how far is Turkey from Rome? Siri can never tell you about driving. It's always about how the crow flies. And according to the crow flies, it's 5,220 miles from Turkey all the way to Rome. And I thought, my goodness, that is quite a walk. I get winded when I have to walk to commissary at the jail and to get me a soda, you know. I was like, oh, I'm never going to make it, you know. But he had to walk 5,220 miles. That's a long jaunt. And I'm sure he was looking over his shoulder. I'm a runaway slave. In those days, death penalty could be applied to a slave. The other thing that they would do is they would take a branding iron and they would brand your forehead with an F. I don't know what the Greek word was that I can't remember off the top of my head. That's where we get our word felony or fugitive. But they would brand the slave's forehead with an F. And maybe Onesimus seen some people with brandings on their foreheads as a reminder that, hey, they're going to catch me. But what are the possibilities of him traveling that long distance only to end up in Rome, where Paul is? Now, some theologians say, well, he was looking for Paul. If I'm a runaway slave, the last place I want to go is to a prison where they might find out that I'm a runaway slave. I think this was God's intervention. I think this was God working in Onesimus' life, guiding him to Paul. Things don't just happen. There's no such thing as luck. God is constantly working in our lives, whether we realize it or not. I want to share another story with you. Praising God again, okay? I haven't been a Christian very long, 21 years. Gave my heart to Christ in 2000. And in 2005, in part of my life, I was kind of getting my view off of God and onto worldly things. And I was worried about my job. I work also for the state. I work with juvenile delinquents. And it's sad when you know that they're changing the laws so that less people will come to your job. And you're sitting there wishing people to get in trouble so you have something to do. Isn't that sad? But I was thinking of my family. I was thinking about, how am I going to support my family? And all I could do was worry, worry, worry. And eventually that started to eat me up on the inside. I was getting nauseous with whatever I ate. I couldn't sleep very good. Just wasn't a very pleasant person to be around, I'm sure. And one day at a training for all of us, JCAs is what they call us, I was listening to them all talk about their caseloads and listen to them talk about all the good things they're doing in their jobs, and I'm just jealous and angry. And then I remember on the way home after the third day of training, someone said to me once, if there's a problem in your life, give it to God and let it go. So I said, all right, I'm going to try this. And I said in the car as I'm crying out to God and I'm crying in the car, Lord, I'm tired of feeling miserable. I'm tired of being this individual. I'm going to give you my problem and I'm going to let you take care of it. And then didn't think about it after that. 2 days later, I'm out on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. I'm in Oglala. I have to pick a young man up to take him to Porcupine for counseling. And I got there early, so I backed my car up into this little convenience store place. And everybody is kind of staring at me, and I'm thinking, yeah, they probably wonder, am I FBI or am I DSS or am I a kidnapper? Who is this guy? But I pay no attention. I turn on my radio, and I'm listening. I think it was Greg Laurie was preaching on that day. And pretty soon there was a knock on my window. It startled me. And another white guy. He's all dressed in white. He looks like an admiral on a Navy ship. But he had a lanyard, and it said Pine Ridge Hospital. So maybe that's their dress code. I don't know. So I rolled down my window. I said, can I help you? Oh, I turned the radio down too. It must have been loud because he said, are you a Christian? I hear you listening to some preaching. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And he told me he was from Rapid, and he played the drums in their band, and he said that, I don't know why I'm supposed to tell you this, Justin, but the Holy Spirit has told me that you are not supposed to worry. I had to swallow that. So by the time we were done with our conversation, I went, picked up my kid, and for half an hour I had to drive with all that in my head. Dropped the kid off, come back home, called my wife, we're bawling on the phone, because I remembered that 2 days prior to that I prayed to God about my problems, and he answered it through a stranger. There's no coincidence in life. Just like with Onesimus here, there's no coincidence that he ends up traveling 5,220 miles to a distant land, to a big city full of 200,000 to 400,000 people, and he finds Paul. He finds Paul. So Paul is pleading with Philemon that, hey, Onesimus has been good to me. He's been a helper. And you know, he also says, I could be bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required. See, he had that authority. He founded that church where Philemon is now ahead of or taking part in. But he says, no, out of love, I'm going to let you make the right choice. It's going to benefit both you and Onesimus. See, Paul is talking about reconciliation. Next, he says, if he owes you anything or has wronged you, charge it to my account. Charge whatever Onesimus has done. Charge it to my account. See, in those days, slaves weren't just hard workers. Some of them were doctors. Some of them were teachers. You might be paying a 2-year salary on a slave. So all that money was lost. And he says, whatever you've lost, charge it to my account, and I'll pay it for you. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Has anybody paid your cost? 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was reconciling the world and the Messiah to himself, not counting people's sins against them. To reconcile, what does that mean? It means to restore friendly relations between two people or coexist in harmony. See, through this reconciliation, we're looking at Onesimus as no longer being the slave, and Philemon no longer being the master, but equals before God, sharing the same need for forgiveness. In God's family, people are no longer Greek or Jewish, circumcised or uncircumcised, slave or free, but the Messiah is all and is in all. Colossians 3:11. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all for your sins. Maybe you're thinking about someone who has wronged you and you just can't find it in your heart to forgive them. Or maybe you've wronged somebody and you're trying to figure out, how do I come across to this person and apologize? And if I do, are they going to accept that apology? See, the devil loves to put fear in your head to make you worry about things. There's an acronym for fear. It's false evidence appearing real. Just jump forward and not be afraid. You might be surprised how God will use it. There's another story I'll share that kind of goes with this. I know I'm talking probably too much about me, but it's for God's glory, not mine, because God has done a tremendous work in my life. Years ago, when my first job, I worked at the Pix Drive-In Theater. And I was in charge of picking up trash. You got $3 for that day. That's all you got. That was a long time ago. Minimum wage is now going to be, what, $15 or something? But $3. And it might take you 10 minutes, or if it's a good movie like the first Batman movie or The Karate Kid, it might take you 3 hours. You had to pick up trash. My goodness. Popcorn boxes and beer cans and pop bottles and you name it. It was out there. I came across a guy's wallet. I'm in high school, and I opened it up to see who it was, and it was a kid that I didn't like. And I'll show him. I wasn't saved, so this doesn't count, right? He had $4. I took his $4, I took his wallet, and I threw it in the burn barrel. Forgot about it. But then I felt guilty about the money, so I flushed it down the toilet. That made it all right? No, it didn't. Years later, this young man is no longer young, and I'm no longer young, and his family was going through a time with medical issues with his wife, and I knew he was a Christian, and I knew that they were struggling, and God put this on my heart. He says, I want you, well, he didn't say verbally, but on my heart, I felt that he wanted me to buy him a new wallet. He wanted me to give him enough money for another driver's license, which I wish I would have bought the one back in the day. It would have been cheaper. And then give him his $4 back. And I want you to give it to him. I didn't want to do that. Oh, my goodness. This guy didn't know what I did to him. I could get away with it, but God knew. So I called this guy up, and we don't talk. We know each other, but we don't talk. It's not like we can hang out and go bowling or anything. And I said, can I meet with you? And he said, sure, I get off at work at 5. I'll be at the house if you want to stop by. I said, sure. And I said, I need to apologize. Well, what for? What did you do? I said, well, I was kind of a stinker back in the day. I worked at the drive-in, and I found your wallet, and I didn't like you, so I threw you in the burn barrel. And he's like, really? He kind of smiled. He didn't hit me, so that was good. But I said, I know that you are going through some times here with your wife's medical stuff, and God put it on my heart to give you a new wallet. He's like, gee, thanks. I said, in that wallet's enough for you. I had to look it up to see how much. I don't even remember what it cost. It doesn't matter. But anyways, I said, there's enough money in there for you to get another ID, and then I gave you your $4 back, and he just laughed. I gave him a hug. We prayed together, and I prayed that his wife would get through her cancer, and that's reconciliation in my life. And if God can do that in my life, imagine what he can do in your life too. The fun thing about my Bible too, I didn't want to miss out on this, is it gives a section here right before you read it. It talks about the things that you might miss if you don't read this little book, or why you should read this little book, or the key things to look for in this book, or did you know? And here's what it says about why you should read this book. It says, ours is a superstar society. Even in the church, we have musicians and pastors and authors, etc., who many times act as if they were the offsprings of the gods. But the 25 verses of Philemon paint a different picture. This story of a runaway slave teaches that it matters little what we were. It matters greatly what we can become. We're all equals at the foot of the cross. Let the tiny letter encourage you. It doesn't matter where you've come from. What matters is where you're going for Christ. Another part that I really liked was down here in the Did You Know? Well, first of all, I should tell you what the name Onesimus means. It was a common name that was given to slaves. And what it means helpful, useful, and profitable. But then over here in my little section, it says, there was a man named Onesimus who became a second century bishop. And how cool would that be if he went from being a slave to a pastor of a church? I think of those people in the jail when I give out that literature. I just think, where are these seeds being planted and what's going to become of it? It warms my heart. We got windows that we can look into the cell blocks. And sometimes when I go and get a pop, I'll look in the windows to see what they're doing. And sometimes I will catch them having Bible studies at the chair. They have these tables and chairs set around, and they don't care who's watching. They don't care what the television's playing. They're having their Bible studies. And maybe some of them are going to go away for a long time, but my hope and my prayer is that these guys will take what they're learning and continue on with it. That's my hope. That's my prayer. And that's not just my hope and prayer for them. It's my hope and my prayer for all of you guys. You guys, men, you're the pastors of your house. Lead your family. Raise up your children. Set the example. Wives, same thing. You know, if your husbands aren't doing it, I'm sorry, you'll have to pick up the pace or kick him in the butt, whichever it takes. But when you think about it, we're all either going to be Philemons or we're all going to be an Onesimus in our lives. What are you guys going to do with what God has given you? And maybe you're doing stuff right now, or maybe God has put something on your heart right now, and you're just kind of like, I don't want to do that. Don't be Jonah. You're going to end up in a fish. Just make sure that you follow and trust God. Sometimes he's going to ask you to do things, and you're just thinking, why? I can't imagine how it would have been for that guy if I would have never gave him his wallet back. I mean, I felt this weight taken off of me, which I forgot was even there. And I hope that that meant something to him too, and I think it did, because he's a big guy, and when he hugged me, I couldn't breathe. I was like, you know. But what? Ask God what he wants you to do in your lives. Make a difference. Not for your glory, but for his glory. Be used by God, and don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. We're living in some tough times now, and it just seems like everybody just wants to do everything bad, and don't focus on all the negativity. Stay focused in the truth, and don't be afraid to share that truth with folks, because the world needs to hear it. We're supposed to be the light, and we're supposed to be the salt. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Take a stand for it. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come here and speak today, and I just hope that it glorified you. I hope that we all can look at ourselves and decide what we're going to do for you in our lives. There's a whole world out there just waiting, and it could be something as simple as handing out tracts or even just being an ear to listen to somebody as they come to you. I just pray that you give all our hearts here the courage and the strength to do what is right before you, to reach people that are lost that need to hear your message. Help us to be bold when we share the gospel, never to be ashamed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Amen.